Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everyone. It's Monday, October 9th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard, and we begin every Monday with none other than White Plains citizen and reporter publisher, John Bailey, who's already on the line. Good morning, John. What a pleasure to have you on.
Good morning, Hezzy. Always
welcome.
Great to be you with the only person who has that worldwide view.
Well, that's very kind of you, as always, but then so do you. What's really fascinating is that one cannot get a worldwide view unless one also knows what's going on in White Plains, which you cover diligently. And I think that there's always a disconnect somehow with what's happening on the national and international level when we don't hear what's going on locally. So thank goodness you do a phenomenal job of telling us what's happening on the local scene. So one of the most important things that we always follow, especially with you, because you have such a large focus on what's happening with COVID, what's caused the changes from last week to this week? Because the numbers are really looking much better than ever before.
Yes.
So
down, Westchester was down 42% in new cases, which was really outstanding. And I don't know exactly what to attribute that to, except for the fact we were back to normal after the Labor Day situation, which created a lot of cases. In fact, we had 14 straight increases in COVID cases, 14 straight weeks of increases since the last week in June. So
fascinating that the numbers literally dropped, like you said, in the 40 percentile area.
Yeah.
I can't fathom it myself. I mean, unless people wised up all of a sudden, I don't get it. I'm thrilled.
My feeling is it all has to do with whether people want to keep going back to work and not acknowledge they have COVID. And if they test positive with an antigen test, they have the option of going in and getting treated, because if you test positive, you only have 5 days to get the Paxlovid, and which nobody really knows because nobody publicizes that on the national level, which I think is a disgrace, because that is. So we do not know whether they have enough supply of Paxlovid nationwide. If you have enough of
it, never been exposed. That's just like a top secret.
Right. And when information is withheld and people don't get the real situation, trust erodes. And that's why nobody listens to the CDC. And they blew credibility over the months by vacillating on. And they claimed, well, it's too early to tell, we don't know. And whenever somebody says, we don't know, people are inclined to not trust them in the future.
Exactly.
So therefore...
Because why don't they know?
It's a tough call. It's a tough call. They do know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I say when they don't
know, they do know,
it's bad news. Yeah. It's bad news.
Yeah, I think they do know. They're just reluctant to say what they do know, and I don't know why that is. I guess the numbers must scare them.
Yeah.
The results scare them probably more than it would scare people.
Yeah. Right. And my feeling is that if you have that much of a drop, that means people may be sick and just slightly and feel it's just a cold. Because remember, the media have been playing down the seriousness of this disease, playing it down. And
absolutely.
And now people feel, well, I can get it, and it really doesn't matter, and there are the vaccines. I mean, I'm just speculating, okay?
Yeah,
because we don't know what motivates people not to get vaccinated, which would have really cut down the numbers exponentially over the last 6 months. But they didn't, because you've got jerks running for president saying that vaccines don't work. And you've also got, and in fact, that's a real problem, because if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. does run a third party, Biden will most surely lose.
Yeah, and that's what I read today, that he is considering running as an independent. So that's going to be really fascinating.
Well, I don't know how it will affect Biden or whoever the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party is. It's not for certain Biden's going to do it, you know. He's the front runner, of course, because he's the incumbent. But whoever runs against the Mr. Trump or whoever gets finally nominated is going to be hurt by a third candidacy by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And Elon Musk now says he's going to fund him. And this is just not good, because nobody learned from the Ralph Nader situation. If Ralph Nader, back in when Hillary Clinton ran against Donald Trump, if Nader had not run, Trump wouldn't have won.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very
and I
true.
Mean, Elvis, and I mean, Nader, these guys that do this are simply egotists. Nader has done a lot for consumerism, but it's all about Ralph Nader.
Yeah, that's very true as well.
That's right. I mean, it's like Elon Musk. He's all about Elon Musk. Elon Musk. I keep thinking of Elliot Musk, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, it's really a terrible thing to realize that people think that they are God's gift to humanity and only they can save the earth. A lot of politicians are like that. And they aren't really thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
Yeah. It's,
they like
it's,
the relation.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have the type of people that we used to have years ago. They were really into helping out a lot more so. I think they were more more aligned with what was going on in the demeanor of the community that they wanted to represent. And now it's really not about the public anymore. There's a disconnect here. So the politicians do their thing, and the public, those that are aware, and maybe that's the reason we don't have such a large turnout for the vote, because the people that are running really don't do very much for us one way or the other after they get elected.
Well, we're comfortable with them, so we keep electing them. That's what happens locally here in White Plains. I mean, if you could, the Democratic Party runs White Plains, and if you're a Democrat and you're nominated for Common Council, you win, because White Plains is so heavily Democratic, and that's what's happening in this year's Common Council election. We've got two Republicans running against three Democrats, and they have not distinguished themselves, but everybody is comfortable with them, and they don't know the other two Republicans who are running because they haven't campaigned. I don't see any signs. I don't see the Republican Party doesn't spend any money on their campaigns. They have to fund it themselves, and when you have an opposition party that represents no opposition and does not speak out at Common Council meetings against decisions that are being made, you know, whether the developments are too big or we should not have a buyout on affordable housing requirements. I mean, you have a problem. You have to hold politicians' feet to the fire and make waves.
Well, that's what I've noticed. I've noticed as well the same demeanor that you're expressing that is taking place in White Plains has also been happening for many years in Yonkers. And I think we're somehow, some governance is evolving in a manner that disconnects it from the public interest. And I don't understand what was the impetus for that sort of change in demeanor. It's hard for me to comprehend what could have been that, because I thought the emphasis in our politicians was always to serve the public interest. But now it's become all about them rather than about us.
Absolutely. And I call it herd invincibility.
Brilliant. Great thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Herd invincibility is when politicians band together and take a stand and all sort of work together against something that they feel is popular, they ignore what needs to be done. Gun control, good example of that. Immigration, another good example of that. They realize that people really don't like the immigrants, so they don't want to earn their disfavor by doing something that would handle the migrants in a humane way. And neither party is doing that in Washington.
That's extremely true.
Way. Well, look what happened. One week, the president lets Venezuelans stay here, and then the next week he wants to send them back. Now, that is not good decision-making. Are you kidding
me?
I mean, that is something that if we did in management when we were working in corporate land, you would be you would describe the week. Well, you can't make decisions, you know, and that's, or particularly if you're a woman in corporate world, you if you show the slightest sign of weakness or lack of strength, you are considered, well, she's weak, you know. But if you are like what they call an uppity woman and you stand your ground, well, you can't work with her. She doesn't compromise. She's not a team player. And I mean, that's what a paid woman face.
Yeah.
If you're really good, they don't like you. And if you try and defer to them, they have no respect for you. That's the way men are. Not all.
I know. You're right about that. But
It's weak men that are like that.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
Nothing better I like than a strong woman who stands her ground.
Absolutely. It's hard for women to do. I mean, it's a constant fight. I guess there's a sense of inferiority by men somehow. Because the women are smart, they're resilient, I think more so than the men. And that seems to be the case. It's not like male bashing, it's just a reality. I think women always have had greater strength than the men. It's interesting. It's really fascinating. That's the reality in every society, literally. In the United States and Germany and France and Israel, it's all over the same.
Yeah.
And yet somehow the men try to put the women in their place, whatever they believe. It's their insecurity speaking, which is always the case.
Well, that's what anti-abortion is all about. Because they want to control women, and they have this real problem with if they impregnate somebody, they feel, well, you know, you have to have the baby and all that. I mean, I don't know what goes through men's minds. I mean, my wife and I faced a possibility we might have to abort our second pregnancy, if the second pregnancy had the same chromosomal abnormality that our first child did. And until we got the amniocentesis test of the second child, this was really a worry. So it was these decisions to have an abortion are not as callous as the vast majority of anti-abortionists think they are.
Exactly. That's very true.
They can't put themselves in other women's shoes. They just, women have a fantastic jealousy of each other sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know where that
comes
from.
They don't combine forces and, philosophies and try and adjust and take rational approaches because it's an ego thing. Oh, my way of being a woman is better than yours. Same thing with the men. We all do that. Well, maybe you and I don't because we are such a man of the world. But
we're humbled by reality.
Nobody ever talks about this throughout life. Nobody talks about what marriage is really about. Nobody talks about this and the problems you run into, and they don't give you the tools.
Yeah, the tools and the directions are not there, and the respect of one another is not there, and the tools of knowing how to engage in conversation rather than fighting. So there's a lot of animosity builds up because we don't know how to talk to one another. We don't know how to respect one another. You know, that happens after the love affair dwindles somehow.
Right.
And why does it dwindle? That's what I don't understand. Because, like, you know, you fall in love with somebody, you like the way they look, you like their attitude, you like all these things, and somehow it gets jettisoned as the relationship devolves. And I don't understand what that is.
You have to develop a partnership and a respect for the other person. And what happens is, your wife wants to do something else, and it's sort of more inconvenient for you, and then she'll want to do something else. But then you start resenting the fact that she does these things, and it absolutely strangles the love in a relationship. It snuffs it out. It suffocates it. And, leaving underwear on the floor, for example. Cause of problems. It's these little irritations that, the real personality comes out in a marriage. I'm very suspicious of these wonderful marriages that people talk about. I have a fantastic marriage. I don't believe that.
Yeah. I think that's shame.
Yeah.
Speaking.
It's all tough. It's like working. Yeah. You got to work at it. And like my wife and I went to a gallery in White Plains yesterday, and it's so pleasant to be actually going out and looking at it. And of course, she didn't want to buy any of the paintings. She said, "Listen, if you buy that, you're dead." It was so expensive, you know. She didn't really think that. But I mean, it's this sort of stuff. It's the relationships you choose to do when you were dating. You were behavior.
Yeah, that was the beauty of the dating scene. But then we get to know each other a little bit more, so we know which buttons to push. That are good and which buttons to push that are not so good. So I guess that's familiarity. But I think we don't know how to resuscitate the love and the interest. We just don't know what's appropriate.
You have to deconstruct all the bad behaviors that irritate the other person.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you have to do. And the women are reluctant to do that. They don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, they want to do what they want to do, but then so do we men. But it is on the part of the men, if you want to repair your relationship, you have to...
You have to capitulate.
You have to be the adult in the room.
Yeah, I think so. I felt that way.
Most men are not adults.
Yeah, exactly.
With the exception of you and me, of course. But I mean,
Well, that's very considerate of you. Thank you very much. Yeah. But
you have been through a lot, and in your life, and you have survived. And you have been attacked, and you have been through stuff that a lot of people haven't. You have had the establishment come down hard on you and try and put you out of business. People should know this, that when you report the news and you try and report it honestly, you are an enemy of the power elite. You are treated as an enemy, and they will do anything they can to bring you down. That's what they
absolutely
are like. And
I used to think that being on target and reporting was the panacea for society, but even the public are fearful of pushback, and because there's no one really defending the public, and even when you do the reporting that's ostracized by government or other powerful forces, and it diminishes our ability to function.
Right.
And at the end, the elites of government are the ones that rule, and they run the show, despite the reality.
Look what happened to the Black Panther Party in the 1970s and the Malcolm X.
Exactly.
I mean, they were, I mean, when I look at pictures of the Black Panthers, they were neat dressed young men.
Yes, they
and,
were.
And you look at who plays in the NBA today, both white men and black men, they are so ugly, man. You know.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but they are. They just don't realize. And the look of grown men my age walking around in shorts in 35 and 40 degree weather, what kind of a statement is that? I think it's kind of a dumb statement.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's all about.
How dumb. How can a woman think, what is that guy doing in shorts, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, this is just, I'm aging up. I'm practical. Mm-hmm. But
well, I think that does come with age, where you know, we think we know it all in our late teens and early 20s, and then you get married and we don't, and then the marriage tempers our capacity mentally, and also because we're forced to accommodate, whereas we have this need for independence before that happens, and then it's like a change. It's a drastic change, and it's a teaching modality. And I think that's what marriage teaches, and that's where the children come from. It's respect and love, and it grows, but it also diminishes our capacity as well. We become new people, I think, with a marriage. And so it's just like a transformation. And it's good in most cases, I think.
Yeah, my marriage has been very good for me as a person. She's been very supportive when my employment has fallen on hard times. And she's been very successful in her career despite, you know, having, you know, a disabled child and then raising a second child who actually has turned out splendidly. And
it's phenomenal. It's a gift. Absolutely.
Well, it is. I mean, I've never seen a person like my daughter. who is so able to accomplish miracles through her own self-confidence and make hard decisions on her own. And in fact, she was acting so mature last week when she came over for dinner that I was really impressed. I could see, boy, she is a changed person. The new job she just took is terrific. It's really doing a lot
that
more.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes.
What a pleasure to see that in your children, isn't it?
Yeah. It's unbelievable that she has accomplished what she has. And,
which only speaks to your guidance, your wife and your
guidance. And my wife, yes. I mean, my daughter.
Well, I think the women influence our children more than the men do.
Well, certainly because
somehow
men are extremely self-centered. It takes a lot for men to give of themselves.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's a comfort level in women. They're comfortable nurturing, and we're less so. I don't know what the difference is, because I guess we should be just as empathic as women, but we're not. Is it because societal roles have forced us to just be known as the breadwinners, and there's a lack of sensitivity of being a breadwinner as opposed to being a nurturer?
Yeah. Well, nowadays, because of the rampant rogue criminal inflation being imposed on us by the manufacturers and corporations of this country, we now have to basically have a two-income family.
That's very true.
It really increases the pressures. And women. And now the move is to try and get women to go back to the old traditional role. But I don't know how they do that.
I don't think they can, because financially it's not a possibility.
Not a possibility. And the inflation keeps going up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Despite all these wonderful talk about we had more jobs. But why did that happen? Because the summer is over, and now you start rehiring. And I mean, this is cyclical. These jobs figures, I think, just do not tell the real story of the economy. Really don't.
They don't. No, they don't.
And they change every week. Every week, there's a new worry and a new benefit out of the employment figures that the government puts out. But it's just propaganda.
Well, the problem is the disparity between capacity to earn a living. And there are people who are doing very well. And because the remuneration that they get and they earn is great enough to support a family. But in many cases, even in the middle class, it's not so easy because of inflation and other costs. And things have become much more expensive, much more on every level.
I mean, $5 for a loaf of bread?
Yeah.
$4 gas in October? That's never been the case in October, which nobody talks about. And now we have this horrendous conflict in the Middle East, another outrage, and that means the price of oil is going to skyrocket. So it's going to go up.
It's already skyrocketed. It's already gone up.
Yeah. And who we have now? We have situations where we have no control because we keep buying this oil from Saudi Arabia. And I mean, it's an untenable situation. We have painted ourselves into a corner by our almost 100 years preoccupation with Mideast oil.
Mm. Yeah, and we haven't done what we need to do, like such as building, capacity for electricity through windmills and stuff like that. I guess it's more expensive or it's cheaper to get oil, but it's destroying our ecology.
That's a disconnect.
Sure. Yeah.
That's right. And I'll tell you another disconnect. I attended a webinar put out by Beyond Plastics, a anti-chemicals and plastics organization. And what they had pointed out in this webinar was how there is a real connection, because many of the diseases killing us are caused by chemicals in plastics.
Yes.
They're called
absolutely
endocrine interrupters, which I had never heard about until I saw that webinar. So that shows you how really good the media is about covering things that business does that they shouldn't be doing.
Well, you know what else I just realized? I never knew that the tires in a car, they throw off small particles that are pollutants, and we find them in the oceans.
Really?
I don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's insanity that we've been doing this for so long, and it's only starting to come out now. You know, business is really responsible for so much of this, and yet they haven't been called to task to fix it. And I don't understand that.
Whatever business does is okay as long as it keeps the economy moving. And what have they done? How are we doing on zero emissions by 2030? We're nowhere.
We're nowhere near it.
It's
not going to happen.
No.
I was surprised recently in the United Kingdom, they ended up drilling for oil. They found the oil, and that's what they're doing. So they're going for oil when the ecology is being destroyed by it. So I mean, maybe we didn't know a few years back, but we certainly know now. So why are we doing that? It makes no sense. And they're not the only country that's doing it. So it's not that I'm bashing Great Britain.
Yeah, and now I believe that organizations, Germany, France, are trying to rely less on Russian oil. Yeah.
Yes.
And Russia is now, I think, trying to cut back. I mean, it's a matter of survival to get fuel to make electricity. And to maintain their these nations, the free world standard of living. However, we now have less of a free world.
Exactly.
The style now is demagogues who basically will not look at realities. It's just about power and controlling the people. And this is not a good situation. If you are a real devout Christian, this is very similar to what is revealed in Revelations.
Mm-hmm. That's so true as well.
Right. And this has happened before when you've had a huge flare-up in the Middle East, this is the last terms and, like, last times, and there's a Messiah that comes up, and there are people out there in devout Christian America that think that Trump is being sent from God.
Yeah, they're all kinds
I read
of
that the other day.
Yeah, I read something like that too.
Yeah, it is no. Trump is the farthest thing from Jesus Christ than anybody could ever be. And then over the weekend, CBS did a feature with Rachel Maddow, has written a book about how the Nazis infiltrated America in the 30s. And it was exposed by the great reporter Eric Severide, who went undercover in these some of these organizations and documented what they were trying to do. And I felt that that was terrific because not until that article appeared in the New York Times on page 24 about Trump saying that migrants were polluting our race. I'm paraphrasing, which is what Adolf Hitler said.
That's exactly right.
Story on page 24. Page 24. That should have been on the front page with all the other laudatory stuff the Times has been writing about what Trump is doing. It's laudatory because when you print what he says verbatim, it's an advertisement for him.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. But he seems to know how to play all these operations all over the place. So
he's not as dumb as he acts.
Not at all. He's not dumb at all.
He's really quiet. As Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. He knows how to play the game. Look at the speakership he was involved in. Everywhere you look, he's got, and people are listening to him. He is like, the new God.
He gives easy solutions that they want to hear, but he doesn't say how he's going to achieve them. This is typical.
Yep.
Remember Nixon? I have a plan to end the war.
Right. That's right.
And it didn't end until 5 years after his first term.
Yeah. Yep.
He had no plan, but it sounded good. People were sick of the Vietnam War.
Anytime people are
sick of something, that's what you base your campaign on. People are sick of inflation. So now, we need the Republican leadership. But what nobody realizes is Republicans can't count.
Yeah, all those things are – I don't think it's the public – I don't know why the public is not aware. Thinks that it's people are not stupid. Maybe they just don't have the ability to read the right information because they're not astute. And I don't know why they're not astute. People are not stupid. And people are educated all over the country. But somehow we got a problem.
Well, there is a vast section of the country that is played, but is actually a minority. It's a vast number of people, but they are a minority, but they are getting super press. And also, governors doing extremely nasty things are getting a lot of press, as is this guy, John Jacobs is his name? Who's conducting a hearing with the FBI?
I don't know of him at all.
No, what is his name? It's a whole problem. You can't tell the dummies without a scorecard. But at any rate, my feeling is now more than ever, after this disaster in Israel, we have to really strengthen up our intelligence efforts.
Most definitely.
I mean, this tearing apart the FBI and the CIA, they're not angels, okay? They're spies.
But they
have to be good spies and not watered down because Republicans don't like what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, That's attitude and the direction and the demeanor that's demanded is what will eventually come to pass if we have a standard that we demand, and that's up to government to demand it and make it clear. And that's the problem. We don't have a good voice that can show us the way. And we're all looking for direction, wherever it is. But that's the problem.
No. Yeah, you're right there. We don't have people in Congress willing to do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, because they're working for themselves, they're not working for us. That's the problem.
Right.
And a lot of people are ignorant of that. And they vote for party, and the parties are not responsive somehow.
Very true. Very true. But, getting back locally, we have to really look at what we're doing around our own towns. Because we're doing the same thing. We're not really looking at the environment and the development we're doing with a serious eye.
No.
And it is going to come back
because we're not local in our thinking. It's like a grand scheme, and the grand scheme doesn't work for every community, and there are differences, and when we don't find a respect for that. So there are different needs in White Plains, there are different needs in Mount Vernon, there are different needs in Yonkers, and yet it's like one brush stroke, which is the same. Greenberg is different, and we don't have, like someone like Greenberg, it's really fascinating, because Paul Finer is exceptional in being so focused on that community. And he shares his thinking, which is what's so beautiful. And we don't
he
have
goes
that.
Out on a limb. He says what must be said. And I don't see that coming from any other leader in the county.
Neither do I.
Unless the leader voices something that sounds really good but has no teeth.
Well, that's it. It's just talk, but there's no substance to it.
Right.
And the thing that I find so fascinating about Greenberg is that Paul Finer is a thinking man. So he doesn't speak. He speaks with experience, and he speaks with knowledge, and he speaks with intellect, and he speaks with concern. And I don't find that there are so many people like that around. And that is the beauty of what he's done. And Greenberg is respected all over the country, which is amazing.
Yeah. It is, but Finer is not respected in the county. They had a chance to elect him county executive, and they didn't.
I don't know why they think of him poorly on the county level, despite the fact that he's proven his capacity on the local level, rather than on the county level. So I don't understand the disconnect. Maybe they just think of him as an aberration in politics because he thinks outside of the box. And maybe he frightens too many people by thinking outside of the box.
Yes, well, they're afraid they will lose their position of power.
That'll affect
their home values. It'll affect their home values. That is the situation.
But it's fear.
Finer put in reval. Remember when Finer put in reval in Greenberg, along with former White Plains assessor, Edie McCarthy?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
They found that it really went up and everybody complained, but Finer persuaded the legislature to let them stretch out the payments they owed. And now it has worked out rather nicely for them.
Yes,
finally.
It has.
Because somebody actually did it. And I thought that was interesting. And nobody has really done an analysis of that. Of what has happened
at all.
As a result of the reval. And But of course, difficult, because that would really take some work. I should actually, I've been meaning to do that, but, you know, they also did some interesting stuff on that I was going, but it's been such a busy news year locally that it's hard to really get involved and get all the things you want to do. We're only one person, you know. And,
well, that's the point. You're one person, I'm one person. We don't have a staff.
Yes, right. Exactly.
You know, so it's hard to keep up with all of it. And I think it's attitude as well. You know, trying to discern what's going on, and that's not always easy because there's a lot of just talk rather than substance that we get from our politicians.
You realize that I get called about once a month by realtors asking if I'm ready to sell my house because there's not enough inventory to help help them make money.
Now, the
real estate market is basically flat in Westchester because thanks to the Federal Reserve, with their high interest rates, young people trying to buy homes have been screwed. They need more money for down payments. And this is what is really hurting the market because they're not moving the houses along. And the other thing that nobody writes about is how the equity of homeowners my age has plunged because you're not going to get the money that you expected you would get. So your nest egg has been reduced. I mean, and this is a big problem. It's really obvious that, and nobody writes about. And every week I see huge articles about real estate in New York Times about how wonderful real estate is and these rich couples who have done their homes. It is just an advertising section. That's all it is. It's not really reporting. And, in fact, a lot of major papers do features that really help some of their advertisers.
That's become the norm. It's been like that for the last maybe 5 years for sure.
Yes, exactly. And you have all sorts of tie-ins and
it used to be noted. Now it's covered up, so it's never divulged. So there's a lot of subterfuge that goes on, and people think that that's the reality, but they don't realize it's an advertisement.
It's so much fluff in the Times these days, like the style section.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of lauding fashion. Aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, fashion
is just fashion exists for the rich.
Yeah, exactly, because most people can't afford it.
And what totally irritates me is when they cover galas. There's a gala every week, and they have the same celebrities rotting out for them. And it's just sickening.
Most definitely.
Exactly. But, you know, I can't change the way the Times thinks, but I certainly would wish negative art. I'm tired of the international coverage. Let's cover more New York State stuff. You know?
I think that would be wise, but we don't have local media that is interested in doing that. The local scene is not strong enough, and I think that we suffer because of it. Tremendously. That's why what you write is important. What I write about Yonkers is important, and a lot of communities don't have that. You know, in Bronxville, it's fascinating because the mayor writes about Bronxville and explains all the issues.
That's a woman, isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't she the lawyer? She's the mayor.
People love her. It's unbelievable. And because she's very conducive to telling it the way it is and managing the city. Well, you know,
she communicates.
It's unbelievable. She communicates.
Right. And now there are great communicators in this county who seem to communicate, but actually don't. They just make you feel good.
Well, that's a problem. I find that's a problem with George Latimer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got the capacity to speak well, but he doesn't tell it the way it is. So he doesn't challenge the system, but he seems to promise and not deliver. And there's no substance to his promise. And that's become very problematic as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And he's now playing out the string of his second term, as they say in the major leagues. And we see new initiatives every day. Like there's this digital initiative he announced Friday. And to close the digital gap. But they need to learn how to read first.
Well, that's very true.
I mean, the main problem in New York City is the fact that when children get up to high school, they haven't been taught how to read yet.
That's the thing that's very frightening.
Yeah.
We're not teaching. We're not teaching.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's going to come to bite us at the end of the day, because we need more people to be on the cutting edge of everything, in literature as well as in science and in societal construct and just so many other things. We're just not doing what we need to do. It's just not being managed well. And I don't know why we don't have someone who could be forthright about the reality.
Yeah.
What are we trying to cover up?
But not too forthright.
Yeah, exactly. There are limits.
Demagogues are too forthright. They don't like working with people. They just want their way.
That's exactly
right. And they are willing to hurt people in order to get their way. And
that's the Trumpism. That's his reality.
Illegal things. I mean, I can't tell you how many cases of the FBI sends me about crooked business deals.
Yeah.
In fact, that's really something that's never reported in the Times.
No. Not
they never do very FBI stories, which they put out great press releases, which detail the schemes that people do. And I feel it's good for business to know that this is the way people cheat their companies.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
And I don't know why they don't do a better job in exposing that. I guess because maybe that's part of the advertising money they figure. They'd be challenging the people with money. So they want the advertising.
Right.
It's amazing
how
we've capitulated to all that. It's all about advertising money.
Times has done very little stories on the real success of Bitcoin and all the cryptocurrency.
They don't cover it.
Don't cover it. And Brinkman Fried, is it? Did I get his name right?
Yeah, right.
Brinkman Fried just shows you how easy it is. I mean, all these coin operators, what is it? Crypto.
The currency.
All the crypto is a giant Ponzi scheme. They're taking people's cash, moving it around, and getting paid for it. And who uses them? Criminals.
Yeah, That's exactly right.
Terrorists, arms dealers, drug dealers. I mean, this is the greatest thing organized crime has ever had to work with, because and this is what they do. And
well, that's where
there's
government
never been a
be
big
coming
story
in.
On that, is there? Where's the
no,
60
but that's where government
that
is. Yeah. Well, that's where government is supposed to be involved and engaged in, and they're not.
So
I don't know what they're getting out of it.
They're taking a closer look on it now. The regulatory agencies have let this slide, and so has Congress.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why. I don't understand why they want to keep
this going. Billionaires that created this bribed them, gave them let's face it, a business contribution to a politician is a bribe.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
We have a lot of that going on.
But you give a contribution and you want to get their attention once they're elected. In other words, you want your issue, you want to be able to bring forth your issue to them and have them support you. That's why nothing gets done on things like guns,
everything
that needs to be done won't get done if it hurts a business that or businesses that have made lots of contributions to politicians.
Yeah, that's how politicians are run, by the money that they're given and special interests.
Yeah,
and
when
people don't seem to recognize that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't get
when
it.
When the bank law that came in 1998, when they wanted to stop the banks from investing, well, that has since been repealed thanks to business lobbying.
Yeah.
Right. I forget the law, but I mean, that's the problem. These free-ranging, free association talk shows, you know, things come to mind. Oh, what about that? What about this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating how much we connect with things that are wrong in far-ranging discussions like this.
The problem is that media today is just glib, there's very little substance, and there's extremely less information of how it functions, so that people don't even realize they become complacent, and they've been lulled into complacency by not hearing the truth. And most operations don't tell you the truth. And it's not because they want to, to think the wrong way. They don't know themselves. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Most people, and many people in media, they're just not astute. They're not aware of what's going on. They're buying into the same BS that other people are buying into.
They want to be part of the inner circles.
That's very true.
It's prestige to be able to go to White House press conferences. And I think it's fascinating that Jake Tapper, who was one of the he was the last great reporter to cover the White House, was offered a different time slot by CNN. And now, why did they do that? They took him out of national prominence by doing that.
Yeah.
Did they do it intentionally? Did he not realize?
Probably, because they know better.
Yes. Now we hear from Jack Tapper was his astute commentary, and he was pretty good. He is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
When he would analyze things when he was doing coverage of the primaries, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time we hear Mr. Tapper's freewheeling instant analysis that is really good. And he was really good in the press conferences. But
excellent.
No more.
Unfortunately, John,
no,
I didn't.
No one else said it.
John, I didn't even realize I'd been so engrossed in what you had to say. Michael Edelman didn't call for whatever reasons, so I hope he's all right. I'll have to check on him afterwards. And
okay.
So we need to go because I need to cover some more stuff that's been happening in the Middle East and
exactly.
Go from there. So
yes,
thank you so much,
almost.
John, as always. My best to Brenda
Starr.
Well,
I hope Michael is okay because I'm sure he is his – input on the Middle East would be fascinating.
Yeah, it would be. So hopefully we'll catch him next week. I'll see where it goes. I'll check with him at 12 o'clock to see if everything's
okay
with him.
Well, Heavy, we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. All the best to you.
Right.
Thanks very much, John.
Thank you, Heavy.
Appreciate it very much.
You're having me on. Right. Bye for now.
Be well. Thank you. Bye. Well, there we have it. None other than John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenet reporter, publisher, and editor. And it's always a pleasure talking to him, that's for sure. Now, let's cover some other stuff that's been going on. Let me just quickly check. Bear with me a moment. Bear with me a second here as we move on. I wanted to cover what's been going on the international stage. There's no electricity, no food, no water, as Israel orders the complete siege of Gaza. So it seems that Israel Defense Minister Yoav Gallant today ordered a complete siege, quote-unquote, of the Gaza Strip, blocking the entry of food and fuel into the enclave and cutting the electricity and water supply. Which is all afforded Hamas by Israel. The death toll from the conflict between Israel and Hamas has risen to more than 1,200, including roughly 700 people killed in Israel and nearly 500 in Gaza. So the latest information is that an Israeli official dismissed today reports of a possible prisoner swap between Israel and the Palestinian factions in the Gaza Strip. Quote, there are no negotiations underway, end quote, the Israeli official, speaking on condition of anonymity, advised Reuters. Rocket sirens are heard in Jerusalem, says Reuters witness. Seems that rocket sirens were heard in Jerusalem on Monday amid the ongoing fighting between Palestinian factions in Gaza and the Israeli army. So how did Hamas manage to breach the Israeli security, and what will be the consequences? It seems that Hamas fighters who launched an unprecedented incursion into Israel on Saturday did so at multiple points along the border by ground and by air, knowing exactly where to go and how to hit Israel's defenses, said Franz von Katt of France 24, is an expert on jihadist movements, Wasim Nasser. Well, Arab foreign ministers are going to meet on Wednesday on Gaza, said the Arab League bloc. Seems that the Arab League foreign ministers will meet on Wednesday to discuss Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip, quote-unquote, following the surprise assault by Hamas on Israel, the regional bloc announced. So the extraordinary meeting in Cairo will seek to find, quote, avenues of political action at the Arab and international level, end quote, as Israel keeps pounding targets in Gaza following Saturday's attack, Arab League Deputy Chief Hossam Zaki said in a statement. And the question is, how did Israeli intelligence fail to foresee the Hamas attack? So Israel's intelligence services are considered one of the best in the business and masters of electronic surveillance.
But with Hamas's attack on the country on Saturday, requiring massive planning and coordination compromising ground, naval, and air operations, the lack of forewarning will be seen as a serious intelligence failure. Currently, there's no chance of a prisoner swap with Israel, says Hamas officials. Palestinian Islamist group Hamas is not open to negotiating a prisoner exchange with Israel during hostilities, a member of the militant's political office in Doha said on Monday. Well, the military operation is still continuing. Therefore, there is currently no chance for negotiations on the issue of prisoners or anything else, Hossam Badran, a Hamas official, told reporters from Doha. Well, there seems that 8 French nationals were killed, missing, or are hostages in Hamas's attack, says the Minister of Parliament. At least 8 French nationals were missing, dead, or taken hostage after Hamas's weekend attack on Israel, a lawmaker said on Monday. But the foreign ministry confirmed the deaths of only 2 citizens in a statement. So France regrets the tragic death of a 2nd French national who fell victim in Hamas's terrorist attacks against Israel, the ministry said. Quote, we are continuing our efforts to clarify the situations of those of our nationals who remain unaccounted for, it added. Earlier, Conservative Minister of Parliament Meir Habib, who represents French people living abroad in a swath of Mediterranean countries, including Israel, wrote that, quote, at least 8 French people are believed to be missing, dead, or taken hostage by Hamas in a post to X, formerly known as Twitter. And the Israeli minister says that they're seeking national unity government in the coming hours. Seems a cabinet member from the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's conservative Likud party said today that it was working to set up a broad coalition government with opposition leaders, quote, in the coming hours. The remarks by Culture Minister Miki Zohar to Israel's Army Radio followed offers by the center-left opposition to join Netanyahu in government as part of the country's closing of ranks as it battles Palestinian Hamas militants in Gaza. Egypt has boosted diplomacy to stop escalation in Gaza and in Israel. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, whose country has historically been a key mediator between Israel and the Palestinians, spoke with United Arab Emirates Mohammed bin Zayed al-Nahyan, agreeing to intensify, quote, intensify discussions and diplomatic efforts to stop military escalation, Sisi's spokesman had said. Abu Dhabi normalized relations with Israel in 2020 under the U.S.-backed Abraham Accords, over 4 decades after Cairo became the first Arab country to sign a peace treaty with Israel in 1979. On Sunday, Sisi spoke with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, warning of the dangerous absence of political prospects. Abbas's government administers the occupied West Bank, while Hamas governs the Gaza Strip. Israel's El Al lays on more flights to take reservists back to fight. Israel's El Al will run more flights to take reservists back to Israel to help in the largest mobilization in the country's history following an attack by Hamas militants over the weekend, a spokesperson for the airline said on Monday. Well, Israel said it had called up an unprecedented 300,000 reservists and warned residents of the Gaza Strip to evacuate and assign it could be planning a ground assault in response. The El Al spokesperson added that no flights had been canceled and that many of the airline's planes to and from Israel were full. The European Union freezes aid payments to Palestinians. It seems that the European Commission said on Monday it was putting its full portfolio of development aid to Palestinians worth 600 and 91 million euros at $728.66 million under review and immediately suspending all payments. The scale of terror and brutality against Israel and its people is a turning point. Oliver Vahelyi, the European Commissioner for the European Union's neighborhood, said in his post on social media platform X, there can be no business as usual. Israel kills a number of armed suspects who infiltrated from Lebanon, says the army. Israeli soldiers, backed by helicopters, killed at least two gunmen who crossed the border from Lebanon on Monday, the military said, in a sign of a possible new front opening as Israel's forces battled Palestinian Hamas militants in Gaza. Artillery shelling and gunfire were heard at Lebanon's southern border with Israel, a correspondent for Hezbollah's Al-Manar TV said in a post on social media. A Hezbollah official said the group had not mounted any operation into Israel. In a statement, the Israeli military said its soldiers, quote, killed a number of armed suspects that infiltrated into Israeli territory from Lebanese territory. It did not elaborate on the number. Military helicopters, quote, are currently striking in the area, the statement added. And Israel's army radio gave the location as being near Adamit, across from the Lebanese border towns of Al-Ma, El-Khaib, and Zahira. Well, 9 U.S. citizens are confirmed dead in Israel, the Gaza violence. The United States confirmed on Monday the deaths of 9 U.S. citizens in the war between Israel and Hamas, with more unaccounted for amid fears they were taken captive. Quote, at this time, we can confirm the deaths of 9 U.S. citizens, State Department spokesman Matthew Miller had said. Quote, we can confirm that there are unaccounted for U.S. citizens, and we are working with our Israeli partners to determine their whereabouts. Italy fears an incalculable regional consequences after the attack on Israel. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is calling for a rapid de-escalation of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as the widening would have incalculable consequences, quote-unquote, her office said on Monday. Meloni expressed her concern in a call with Lebanese counterpart Najib Mikati, in which she confirmed Italy's support for Lebanon's security and stability at this delicate juncture, end quote. Italy is the second largest contributor to the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Lebanon, which is known as UNIFIL, with around 1,100 troops out of a total of just under 10,000, according to the mission's website. Well, more than 10 Britons are feared dead or missing in Israel, says the BBC. More than 10 Britons are feared dead or missing in Israel, the BBC reported on Monday, citing an official source. Netanyahu says that Israel's response to Gaza attack will change the Middle East. Israel's response to the unprecedented multi-pronged attack by Palestinian gunmen from the Gaza Strip will quote, change the Middle East, end quote, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today. He was speaking to mayors of southern border towns hit by the surprise assault that began on Saturday. A statement from his office said it did not elaborate on his prediction. You can see the destruction. Gaza reels from the Israeli airstrikes. Seems that Gaza residents cleared debris on Monday as they counted the cost of a night of unrelenting Israeli strikes on the enclave in retaliation for the surprise attack by Hamas fighters on Israel on Saturday. The Israel Defense Forces say its forces have so far hit more than 800 targets in Gaza, as it was reported by France 24. Well, a major airline suspended flights to Israel after the massive attack by Hamas ignites heavy fighting. Teams of major airlines have suspended flights to Israel after the nation declared war following a massive attack by Hamas. American Airlines, United Airlines, and Delta Airlines suspended service as the United States State Department issued travel advisories for the region, citing potential for terrorism and civil unrest. American suspended services to Tel Aviv through Friday. The airline said that it had issued a travel alert providing additional flexibility for customers whose travel plans are impacted. Quote, "We continue to route to monitor the situation with safety and security top of mind and will adjust our operation as needed," American said. United said it allowed two scheduled flights out of Tel Aviv late Saturday and early Sunday and accommodated its customers, crews, and employee travelers who were at the airport. The airline said that its Tel Aviv flights will remain suspended until conditions improve. Delta said its Tel Aviv flights have been canceled into this week. The airline said it's monitoring the situation and making possible adjustments accordingly. Company said that customers with canceled flights or who want to change their Tel Aviv ticket should check the Delta's app, website, or call Delta reservations to make adjustments. While soldiers are deployed against possible infiltration from Lebanon to the Israeli military, Israel's military said it deployed troops against a suspected infiltration from Lebanon on Monday. Quote, "A report was received regarding the infiltration of a number of suspects into Israeli territory from Lebanon territory. IDF soldiers and are deployed in the area," the military said in a statement. Well, the death toll in Gaza rises to 560, says the health ministry. At least 560 Palestinians have been killed and 2,900 wounded in Israeli airstrikes on the blockaded enclave since Saturday, said Gaza's health ministry. "They don't care who dies," Israeli and Palestinian supporters rally in New York. Team supporters of Israel and backers of the Palestinian cause held competing rallies in several U.S. states on Sunday over the conflict that has killed hundreds and wounded thousands in the Middle East, with some of the largest rallies taking place in New York. Israeli strike on the Gaza has killed four prisoners, Hamas, it says. Well, Israeli airstrikes on Gaza have killed four prisoners held by Hamas, the Palestinian militant group said on Monday. That was the big issue. And the European Union is going to hold emergency talks on Israel. Seems that European Union foreign ministers will on Tuesday hold urgent talks on the situation in Israel and Gaza after Hamas militants' surprise assault. The bloc's foreign policy chief Josep Borrell had said, "I'm convening tomorrow an emergency meeting of European Union foreign ministers to address the situation in Israel and in the region," Borrell wrote in a social media post on Monday. The European Union has strongly condemned the unprecedented attack by the Islamist militants that has sparked a barrage of assaults, of strikes rather, by Israel on Gaza. Peter Steno, a spokesperson for Borrell in Brussels, said the European Union's execution arm was retrieving how the attack by Hamas could potentially impact the U.S. So whatever the adjustment, the European Union position and reaction to what is still going on in the ground will come from a meeting on Tuesday in form of an agreed upon European Union position. Steno said the bloc, one of the major financial supporters of the Palestinian people, has envisioned spending some $1.26 billion U.S. dollars between 2021 and 2024 on schools, hospitals, and salaries, among other things. The European Union Commission insists that none of the support has gone to fund Hamas or any other militant group. Russia says that the Palestinian state is a most reliable solution. Russia said on Monday that creating a Palestinian state is the most reliable, quote-unquote, solution for peace and that fighting terrorism alone would not ensure security. Creating a Palestinian state that would be that would live side by side with Israel is the most reliable path to solve the conflict, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said, quote, we cannot agree with those who say that security can only be ensured through a fight with terrorism. Lavrov was speaking at a news conference in Moscow alongside Arab League Chief Ahmed Abu Hayt. Well, no electricity, food, water, or gas. Israel orders complete Gaza siege. Israel's Defense Ministry, Yoav Gallant, has ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip, saying that Israeli authorities would cut electricity and block the entry of food, water, and fuel. Quote, we are putting a complete siege on Gaza. No electricity, no food, no water, no gas. It's all closed, Gallant said in a video statement, referring to the crowded enclave that is home to 2.3 million. Gallant said, we're fighting human animals, so we're acting accordingly, the Times of London reported. The United Arab Emirates is appalled that Israeli civilians were taken hostage in the Hamas assault during the during that. Okay. All right. So, bear with me a second. Looks like Hungary is going to evacuate 110 more people, says the foreign ministry. It seems that Hungary is currently evacuating 110 more people from Israel, bringing the total number of people it has brought out of the country to 325, including 46 children, Foreign Minister Peter Szijjártó said in a Facebook post on Twitter. He said that 15 of the 325 evacuees were foreign workers on the... Okay, so that's been done. Bear with me a moment. And Iran has denied it had a role in the Hamas attack on Israel. Iran on Monday rejected as unfounded allegations that it had a role in the massive assault on Israel by Hamas. The accusations linked to an Iranian role as based on foreign reasons. The foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani told reporters, adding that Palestinians had the necessary capacity and will defend their nation and recover their rights without any help from Tehran. Well, the United Nations Rights Council holds a silence for victims in Israel and Gaza. So the United Nations Rights Council stood in silence on Monday to remember the innocent lives lost in Israel and in Gaza at the request of the United Nations. I respectfully request a movement and a moment. Okay. All right. One second. Three military planes are evacuating Poles, people from Poland, from Israel, landed in Warsaw on Monday morning, Polish authorities said. The first people evacuated from Israel are already in Poland, Defense Minister Mariusz Błaszczak said on X, formerly known as Twitter. The first plane brought in 120 people who had been stuck in Tel Aviv airport. Two other aircraft followed, bringing to Poland a total of 120 people, he said. A military Boeing is leaving for Israel to evacuate other people, he continued. Airlines flying between Poland and Israel suspended flights on Saturday following the start of the latest war between Israel and Hamas. Nepal says that 10 nationals were killed in Israel from Hamas attacks. These 10 Nepali nationals were killed in Israel as a result of the attack by Palestinian military group Hamas, says. Okay. Foreign Ministry said that four Nepalis were also wounded on Saturday's attack. And again, there were no further results. All right. So seems that more than 123,000 people are internally displaced in Gaza, says the United Nations. More than 123,000 people have been displaced in the Gaza Strip since the outbreak of the conflict between Palestinian militants and Israel in August. Okay. Lebanese political parties are asking Hezbollah not to get involved. Israel conducted artillery strikes across its United Nations patrolled border with Lebanon after Hezbollah on Sunday launched guided missiles and artillery shells at the contested Sheba Farms border area. Sheba Farms is a disputed territory between Israel, Lebanon, and Syria. Israel occupied the area during the 1967 war. Reporting from Beirut, Francis von Katt is okay. So, just quickly check. All right. All right, let me just see what's going on here. Okay. All right, so let me just see. Yeah, this is as we spoke with John Bailey. Oil prices have jumped more than $4 as the Middle East violence rattles markets. Oil prices jumped more than $4 a barrel in early Asian trading on Monday as dramatic military clashes between Israel and Hamas forces over the weekend deepened political uncertainty across the Middle East. The surge in oil prices reversed last week's downward trend, the largest decline weekly decline. All right, we'll see what happens. Okay, see, it's 11:30, so we're going to get off the air, try to catch up with some other things as well. So hopefully we'll speak to you tomorrow. Be well and take care. Thank you. Bye.